Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
I used to hate the sun because it shone on everything I'd done. Made me feel that all that I had done was overfill the ashtray of my life. All my achievements and days of yore range from pathetic to but all that's gonna change because we come sunrise. Yes, your sunrise. I used to hide from the sun, tried to live my whole life underground. Why'd you have to rise and ruin all my fun? Just turn over, close the curtains on the day.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Why not join us for
the Susie
and Sheridan
Show
on Sheffield
Live Radio.
93.2 FM. Live on the wireless. Oh, never buy teeth from a catalogue.
Every Thursday,
1 till 2 in the afternoon. So I'll get the kettle on for you and put an extra digestive on the plate. Sheridan
Show.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Tripit Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield. It's lovely. Great place.
So wave your hands if you're not with a man. Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
I got, you got,
so we've got everybody.
I got the gift, gonna stick it in the gold. It's
time to move your body.
Babylon back in business, can I get a witness? Every girl, every man. Houston, do you hear me? Ground control, can you feel me? Need permission to land.
I don't wanna.
Proper giggle, I'll be quite polite. But when I rock the mic, I rock the mic. You got no love, then you're with the wrong man. It's time to move your body. If you can't get a girl, but your best friend can, it's time to move your body.
You're keeping me up all night.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. And when you play that funky music, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever. Hi, I'm Kelly Walker and you're listening to Sheffield Live.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Commuters Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and we have a very special guest here today. We have Chris Overton interview what we're going to play right now, who is an Oscar winner and is going to talk about his company on Slick Films and also a £10,000 competition for short filmmakers. Here it is. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Commuters Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and we have Oscar-winning short film director, Chris Overton. Good afternoon.
Hello, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
So, I mean, you have a company called Slick Films. So tell us a little bit about Slick Films.
Yeah, Slick Films is something I started when I was about 19 years old. I'd always made films from like a young boy. I made this film about bullying when I was 13 years old, and I kind of shot it, edited it, packaged it up by making DVD cases, and went around knocking on doors and told people this was a film about bullying, and they had to buy it, and I sold all my DVDs out, and that was like a that was my introduction to film, and my love affair with movies has you know, continued. And started Slick Films when I was 19, started to take it a little bit more seriously. And, we started doing actors' showreels, and then we decided to do short films. And that's when I met my partner, Rachel Shenton, and she had this idea for a film called The Silent Child. Went on to win the Oscar for Best Live Action Short Film a few years ago now. That was the start of our introduction to short film. And since then, we've been helping other people make theirs and continuing to do our own work. So, we tend to do films that shine a light on important issues.
And I've got to ask, Chris, I mean, you said you started watching making films when you were young, but was there a certain film that you thought, I would love to do this? I mean, what inspired you to make films?
I think actually what inspired me to make films was editing, seeing how you could film something and then kind of change the footage to make a certain person, make the audience feel differently about a certain person. But my friends, I came home for the weekend, and I was away at drama school. I came home for the weekend, and they had a video camera, and they were filming their own version of Big Brother with a diary room. And I just thought, wow, this is amazing. And then to get the footage and then edit it, that was the best bit for me. And that's kind of like how it started. Cause I told a bit of a porky to my mom and said, we had to have a video camera for school. And she said, well, we can't afford that. I said, sorry, we've got to have it. It's my birthday coming up soon. I got a video camera. That's probably the best thing that ever happened to me, really. Gave my mum a bit of peace and quiet too.
And I mean, as a filmmaker, who influenced you? And also, if there's anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
That's a great question. I mean, there's a few movies that really influenced me. Oliver Twist, actually, the musical version was just, a really big inspiration. That kind of, I remember watching that in my living room with my parents, and that kind of inspired me to get into acting as well, really. So I was an actor. I still, if I'm asked to do it, I might do the odd thing, but not so much anymore. But quite obvious and answers, really, Steven Spielberg, films like E.T. I love that film. I loved anything that he made, Jurassic Park, all those big Hollywood classics. They kind of inspired me, really. I guess I just didn't really know what a director did until I started to do it myself, though, you know.
And, I mean, if there's any film that you would love to work on, I mean, like a big budget film, what kind of film would you like to make?
I like true stories. So, and Rachel's exactly the same. We're very lucky that we have the, you know, the same taste. So I think, you know, like the type of film that I would like to make, like something like Erin Brockovich is with starring Julia Roberts. That's amazing. And I'd love to work with Julia Roberts one day. There we go. I've said it now. she's amazing. Someone I've grown up watching. And Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump, that was a big influential film. If I could make a film like that, although that isn't, I don't think, based on a true story. It's based on a book. But yeah, that, I think I have more of an American taste than a, you know, a European taste. I think in the UK, we kind of sit in the middle. But I think me and Rachel leaned, our stories that we like to tell, we lean towards more of the American taste, I think.
And I mean, you yourself are also an Oscar-winning filmmaker, and you would have won an award for live-action short film, which has also been written by your wife, Rachel Shenton. So, I mean, tell us a bit about The Silent Child. I mean, don't give it too much away, but what is the plot?
In a nutshell, it's about a profoundly deaf child born to a hearing family, and she can't communicate with them. They don't sign, and they don't really know what to do with her. And then they employ this social worker who teaches this little girl to sign, and she blossoms, and she's really smart. And I won't say any more than that. But Rachel's dad was deaf. So this was kind of inspired by her dad and someone that she lived with over in America when she was filming a series called Switched at Birth, which stars Marley Matlin. There's lots of sign language in that. But yeah, it raised a lot of awareness for the deaf community and you know what it's like to be deaf. And I think, you know, people were quite shocked at the stats at the end, you know, and the main one says it's, you know, it's not a learning difficulty. A deaf child can do exactly the same as a hearing child if they're given the right support. So a lot of deaf children, you know, can find themselves without the right support. And I think that's got a lot better, and the awareness has got a lot better. And there's now a GCSE in sign language, which, yeah, we like to think that The Silent Child helped towards that, and that became a bit of a catalyst for that.
I mean, it captures the imagination as well. I mean, what, you know, when you see a film, I mean, it doesn't. I don't think it matters what kind of film you see. If it captures the imagination of what you're going through, it's quite moving, really.
Yeah, I think if you've got something to say, we believe there's nothing quite like saying it through characters and through story. You know, if you've got a message, and every filmmaker's different. We just happen to like those type of films that are like either true stories or you know, have an important message to say. Other filmmakers, you know, like horror, or they just like pure entertainment or love stories. And we like those as well. And we at Slip Films, we have some of those. But yeah, my taste as an exec producer is a little bit more expansive as opposed to when I take on a project that I'm directing.
And I've got to ask this as well, Chris. I mean, how long did it take for the Silent Child to make? Was it quite a long process, or did it come together quite quickly?
I think we had roughly around about a week. A main shoot of a week, and because we had a, you know, very young child, it was a little bit slower. Some short films can be done in 2 days, sure. 4 days. I think the thing we found hardest was raising the money. We couldn't get it arrested. You know, we went everywhere to get the finance, and we were asking for £10,000, and we just could not get it. We went to all the big funding bodies, local councils, so we ended up crowdfunding. And you know, I owe everybody on that film, I think, for the rest of my life. You know, this team was absolutely amazing. You know, there was just this very special moment in time, I think, where it all came together, you know. And that was because of an amazing team and Maisie Sly, who played the little young deaf girl in our film, and she is profoundly deaf. She was the right age, you know, everything just fell into place with that film. And I think if we would have done it 6 months later, it might not have gone the way that it did.
And you've opened up a competition for £10,000 plus mentorship. I mean, is it open now?
It is open now, indeed. Yeah. It's called the Slick Films Fund. So we're urging anybody with an idea to, you know, if they haven't got a script already, write a script. It can be under 21 pages. It's specifically for a short film. And I think what we want to do is just kind of put a little bit of hope back into the world of short film. I think, you know, this year's Oscars, the short film category, was perhaps a little bit depressing for people to see someone like Wes Anderson win an Oscar. I think it's great for him, but he has been nominated for features like 8 times before. He's a real veteran. And that category, I think, is usually for people that are starting their careers. You know,
sure.
Myself and Rachel and a lot of the team on The Silent Child, we'd never made a film before. And that's the beauty of the short film Oscar, because it's the one attainable Oscar. And, you know, short films can be made for 10 grand, sometimes less, and they can go on to have huge major success and actually change the world.
I mean, just like you say, I mean, I watched a few short films as well, and sometimes short films are better than major productions, and, you know, that's what's great about it. But as a director yourself, I mean, what advice would you give to filmmakers?
I think try to find a story that lights a fire within you. If you've got an idea or something's happened to you that's really, really personal and you don't want to share it, it's probably the right thing that you do share it. You know, a lot of the big film directors say, you know, make it so personal that you'd be embarrassed to share it. And I think, you know, that's the right thing. People like Ricky Gervais say, write what you know. And I think they're absolutely right with that. You do have to write what you know, or tell a story, or, you know, be involved with something that you can at least connect to in some way. It doesn't have to be directly connected, but there might be something in your life that unearths something within you that can connect to that story, you know?
And, for anybody that wants to enter this competition, can anybody enter, or is it just like filmmakers in general?
Anybody with a script around the world can enter. The only stipulation is that the film for this year has to be shot in the UK. So it is predominantly this year, in our first year, for European filmmakers. But somebody over the other side of the world can absolutely submit if they have a script that can be shot in the UK.
And I mean, how long would you say is the perfect time limit for a short film? What would you say to that?
It's a really good question. Lots of people have a different answer to this, but there's a really good statistic on Stephen Follows. Stephen Follows is an amazing industry professional that does a lot of analytics about film, and he did a study with how many films get into festivals based on their length. And after the 15 minute mark, the scale drops really dramatically. So I would say, if you can get, it's about a page per minute, so if you can get a script 15 pages and under, I think you're on to a winner. Me personally, I like scripts between 15 and 20 minutes. I think that's the sweet spot, because I think that gives you just enough time to invest in the characters. But yeah, 15 minutes, 16, 17, 18, 19, they seem to be my kind of favourite length, really, and they're easier to program at a film festival.
And I mean, when's the closing date as well for the competition?
So there's a few different deadlines. So the first early bird deadline closes in 1 month's time, so around the 15th of May, and then it's the regular deadline, which closes in the 15th of June, and then the last deadline, I believe, is about 15th of July. Yeah, so there's plenty of time, and there's also a separate competition for first-time filmmakers. So if you've never made a film before, you've got an idea, I'd urge you to write a script and submit to that.
And I'm going to ask, I mean, if picked, whatever short film's been picked, what happens next? Do they go through to, like, is there like certain rounds that the short filmmakers go through?
Yes, it will be different various stages throughout. And there'll be five finalists for the main competition that will pitch live at Bolton Film Festival. So we're very proud to be partnering with Bolton Film Festival. They're a fantastic film festival that champions emerging talent. And five finalists will pitch live to an audience, and then the winner will be announced there and then.
And for anybody who wants more information, do you have like a website? And also, if for people who don't have like digital access, is there any physical information that people can get?
So there is a website, and it's, you know, you can find it very easily on our website, slickfilms.co.uk, and then that will take you to our Slick Films Fund page on the menu bar. If you click on there, you can read all the information about it, and there is a Coverfly link or a Film Freeway link. That's where you have to apply. So you can find those buttons on that web page, and then you can submit via Film Freeway or Coverfly.
And my final question, Chris, is I'd like to give my final word to you. So what would you like to say to our listeners who are listening right now?
Well, firstly, thanks for having me on. And if you've got an idea, or if you know someone that wants to tell a story or wants to get into film, tell them about the Slick Films Fund.
Chris, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
This is Jeff Wayne, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlife.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Life. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to the sun. I'm giving? What is this I'm feeling? If you wanna leave, I'm with it. To get some, she's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to the sun. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get lucky. 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 She's up all night to the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night.
That was Daft Punk featuring Pharrell Williams and Get Lucky. Before that, we also had an interview with Chris Overton. Thank you very much, Chris. And if you want to join us on Commuters Live, we are looking for volunteers. So if you're interested in helping out on Commuters Live, if you want to do a live show with me, or if you want to work behind the scenes in producing new stories for Sheffield Live, you can get in touch with me on Commuters Live Facebook page. We also have our very own website at Sheffield Live. Live, or you can get in touch with me at chrisanelli89@gmail.com. Again, that is Communities Live Facebook page, our very own Sheffield Live web page. Also, you can get back in touch with me at chrisanelli89@gmail.com. Now, next, we're going to play another interview. We have Paul Campbell, who is a contestant on the new series of Gladiators, right after these adverts.
The Max Chance Show is now on from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesdays. Hear eclectic music and a bit of comedy.
There's a place I must go. There's a place I must go. I have seen, but I'll get there in a blue dream.
All ages, all genders, all sexualities, all ethnicities, all abilities, all communities, all together. Be our guest, be our guest at Diversity Fest.
Diversity Fest Radio, every Thursday, 3 till 4 p.m. on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and at sheffieldlive.org.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM. And we have Gladiators contestant, Paul Campbell. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Contender, ready.
Gladiators, ready.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to ask you, Paul, I mean, how did you audition? So, was it quite a long process, or did it come together quite quickly?
Well, bizarrely, I get asked this a lot, is my niece sent me something late at night, probably 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I'm laid on the settee watching something, falling asleep. And she doesn't overly text me, so I look at it, it says Gladiators, this will be your street or something. And I think what she's talking about, Gladiators, is I didn't even know it was coming back. I see the sort of green apply, Umanar, and then I decide to apply. It really just went from there. Without her, I'd have never got to the show because I didn't know it was coming back. So it was as simple as that, really.
I mean, it was such a surprise that actually Gladiators, because it was so under the radar, like, because we'd never even heard about Gladiators coming back this year. And then all of a sudden, it was filming in Sheffield. And So, I mean, but for anybody that wants to apply for such a show like this, what advice would you give? And also, how many auditions did you have to do to get to the role?
Okay, I had, they rang me once I took the application form in, but it was a while after. So you think that you haven't got in. You just assume I'm not in, you know, and you carry on with your everyday life.
Sure.
Then I got a call saying I was at work. So I nipped out, took the call, and it was, we'd like you to audition. For, do you want to go to London, Manchester, Glasgow, Edinburgh, somewhere, like, they were all different places. So I said Manchester, because I've got another niece in Manchester. So I said Manchester, picked a date. They've been doing auditions for quite a few weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all around the country. So you figure, well, there's a lot of people obviously applying for it. Anyway, I got to Manchester, got to my niece, stayed over. It was 10 minutes from her house, luckily. And it was university, so they give you a bit of an insight of what you're going to do, and I'm a serial gymmer, so a lot of it was gym stuff, so it suited me, I presume it suited everybody else. So when I got there, it was really just about doing your best, and after that it was just a waiting game. So I did the audition. They never told you had you got through. TV sort of looking for personalities. Mm-hmm. It's a family show, and they're looking for somebody to be reasonably fit. If you know me, I'm a personality, and I'm reasonably fit. So I was quietly confident, because a lot of the things in the tryout, I was good at. Not everything, but quite a few of them I was good at. So I thought I stood a chance. And, you know, my age, I think, was a factor as well, as I knew that without knowing him, there was not going to be anybody my age there. It was, it'd been unusual.
Sure.
So I figured, and I'm from Sheffield, so I thought, something's got to help me. So that was it, really. Then once I'd sort of done the tryout, everybody got on, we had a bit of a laugh. And I'm quite quick-witted, so that helps. And then the next thing, they said, we'll let you know. Never heard anything for a while. Then I got a call. I was in the gym saying, you're through to the next stage. You're not quite there yet, but you're through to the next stage. We want you to do this in the gym and video it.
Right.
So it was how many pull-ups, strict pull-ups could I do in a minute? I did 21. And then it was how long can you hang on a bar, sort of hanging down, full stretch. And I hung on for 2:09. So I figured that wasn't bad. Sent the video in, waiting game again. And then they said, I'm through to the final 10. So after that, it's wow. So 10,000-15,000 people applied, and I'm in the final 10. So somebody was looking down on me.
And I got to ask this, Paul, as well. I mean, you also tried to audition for the older version of Gladiators. Is it 1994 or 95 or something like that? But how far did you get on that audition then?
No, well, I didn't audition for that show.
Right.
I tried to get on a Bear Grylls show. You know, Bear Grylls used to do a show. I tried to get onto that, but that was probably 20 years before.
Right.
You had to send your video in again and do all that stuff. But I never heard anything, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to apply for things now, because once you've got a taste of it, so I would like to do, if they're listening, the SAS, the Army one, I'd like to pick my wits and see how far I could go in something like that.
Mm.
So I'm training every day, waiting for something.
And I've got to ask this, Paul. I mean, so when you get to Sheffield Arena and you actually start the show, I mean, we see the show that it's always on for like an hour, an episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But how long were you actually in the stadium? Were you in for the full day or?
Yeah, it's a long time. But before that, you go there, you get 3 days practice and they're long days. So everybody that's on the show, plus extras in case somebody gets injured. So you got 3 days, you know, you might be there at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m, so maybe 6, 7 p.m. And you're practicing. You don't get long practice, but it's practice.
Sure.
Because what you're doing there, depending on what you're doing in a gym, you're not really doing anything like that in a gym.
Yeah.
You know, run-of-the-mill gym won't have poodle sticks. You don't have the thing that's the edge or anything like that. So it's unknown to you. So you get 3 days practice, which is good. You want it a bit longer, but it's good. But they're long days. And then you're in the arena at maybe on competition day, maybe at 9. And you may leave there when you've done, and it's after 6.
Right.
So it's a long day.
I mean, because I've seen some of the behind the scenes stuff, and it must take ages to like get all the games all set up and ready.
Yeah, that's the downside to it. It's what they've got to do, so you understand it, but it doesn't help you, because you'd rather just bang 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 and get on.
Sure.
So it's a lot of downtime, and you sat around. So then you've got a quick warm up. And away you go again. But it's the same for everybody.
Yeah. And I've got, I mean, who were you most intimidated by? Which gladiator intimidated you the most?
All of them and none of them. It was, I sort of had the mentality, it's what I do on the day. They're there to stop you. It's a game show. You've got to have a bit of a laugh with it. And you've got to enjoy yourself. And, you know, I don't know many people my age that are probably as fit as me, But equally, they may have done better than me. You just don't know on the day. On the day, you just you're doing your best. And what I found with it in the training, there were a lot of people who knew who they were up against. They were sort of trying to work it out. Oh, I'm think I'm facing him, or she's facing her. And somebody asked me, "Do you know who you're facing?" I says, "I'm not bothered. I'm not interested," because you don't want to spend 3 days trying to size them up and watch them. You just want to concentrate on you. So, me being a bit older, I had a different mentality to a lot of the other people. I only knew the guy I was facing when everybody else had got theirs matched up on, and so we were on an Instagram group, a WhatsApp group. So people were sort of saying who they were against. So I sort of worked out probably the week before my event who I were against. But other than that, I just wasn't interested.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got to ask as well, I mean, did you get to speak to any of the gladiators backstage as well? I mean,
Yeah, I got to speak to quite a few of them. They were all really nice. They were there to do a job, and that was it. And they knew it was a game show. So there was nobody who didn't get on.
Yeah.
We all got on. It was part of the process. They were good sports people. They were there, they were there almost from looking at after the event, you sort of think they were all new gladiators. So they don't want to get beat as such. Mm. Obviously, they want to maybe do it again. We're not trying to get beat because we want to be the guy that beats the gladiator.
Sure.
But again, you're against your opponent and you're trying to score points to really get the edge, really. But everybody got on. There was nobody that didn't get on. There was no falling out.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, because when you see on the screen, I mean, say Viper, I mean, he looks really vicious, I've got to say.
Yeah.
But I was just curious what he was actually like behind the scenes, actually.
Everybody was good. Viper, to be fair, was probably one of the ones I never really spoke to. I never really saw him much. Yeah. And he wasn't... some of them you never saw as much. So probably a couple I never saw as much. Giant was great. They were all good. I won't say any of them was bad. I got on with all of them, the ones I spoke to and saw most. They were all okay. Everybody understood why we were there, and it's a game show. And everybody's trying to get that 15 minutes of fame, I suppose.
True. And, I mean, also, do you get to see the horses as much as well? Like Bradley and Barney Walsh, do you get to talk to them as much?
Yeah. They were great. They're good fun. I had a bit of a laugh with Bradley and his son. They were just nice people. So at the end, I sort of knocked on the dressing room and sort of said to him, I've got a big family, and they do a holiday programme. So I said, why don't you get my family on the holiday programme? So we had a bit of a giggle about that. But yeah, so is it, yeah, everybody understood what we were doing, and it wasn't rehearsed. You just got on with it, and it came together.
And I mean, we were also talking about how the sets were put together. But it's amazing when you see them. I mean, when you see it on TV, that they go like from game to game to game. But it's like you they're taking quite a while to build the sets for like a 4-minute game, really.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Some games less than 4 minutes, you can be down in 30 seconds. But and yeah, it's amazing, really, because it does take a long time, and the crowd are being entertained. But for us contestants in the back, you're on your phone or you're talking to another contestant, and on your heat, you're the it's you who you're up against, and the girls that are there.
Yeah.
Obviously, the staff are there. So you've not got a million people to talk to. So you can, and your family are there. So you're not really talking to them.
Yeah.
You know, by phone. They're out there, and you're in your sort of dressing room or watching the other contestants before you. So it's a long day. But you get through it because your adrenaline's going. So it's not so bad.
And the gladiators, well, they're absolutely superhuman, I've got to say. yes. Especially against you and the younger contestants. But I've got to ask you this, Paul. I mean, when you were playing the games, I mean, which was the toughest game that you were faced on Gladiators?
The Edge.
The Edge.
It's 30 foot in the air.
Oh, wow.
And you don't realise you're scared of heights. So you get up there and you have to go up in an harness, undo the harness, and you're there. And the kids, you know, I'm 58 now. The kids really don't have any fear. Me at 21, no fear. Me at 57, fear.
Yeah.
Because somebody's knocking you off and it's 30 foot. And there's a net underneath it, but that makes no difference in your head. You just don't want to get knocked off because you're thinking it's 30 foot in the air. So that was by far the worst for me. It's just high. And it's like, whoa.
And I've got to say, I mean, you were so unlucky as well in the fight for the final with I forgot what you call the game now. The last game where...
The Travelator.
Yeah, the Travelator, that's the one. I mean, that looks quite tough as well to beat.
Yeah, it was not easy, but a good friend of mine called Mick, he's got a gym just across the road from the arena. So I did a bit of work with him, and he gave me a tip that I remembered for all the adrenaline. And he said, when you run, sort of run ear pocket, so your hands are going ear to pocket.
Yeah.
And it makes your feet move a bit quicker. So I remember coming off the beam and just thinking, ear pocket, ear pocket. So my family members sort of said, but you make that Travelator look easy. And I said, well, it wasn't easy. It felt easy because I was doing ear pocket in my head all the way up. So I think without Mick, I might have struggled myself at that point.
And I've got a couple more questions for you because we are quickly running out of time. But, I mean, for anybody that wants to audition for Gladiators next season, because there is another series coming out next year, because it's such a popular show, what advice would you give to future contestants?
I would say apply. I applied fully. I probably applied at 12 o'clock at night, sat on my settee because of my niece. And it's strange you should say that, Chris. I've had so many people. I was out with some friends the other week and they asked me the same question because this gentleman wants to apply. I said, apply. And he looks a unit. I said, apply. Be memorable. He'll ask you for a video. Just be yourself and apply. I think... You look for a different range of people. So it's not one person fits all. So I would say anybody apply, you have a chance. I had, at 57, you thought a TV show may not take you. I got to TV. So there is not one size fits all. I would say to anybody apply and just go for it. That's what I would say. Just apply.
And I would like to give a final word to you, Paul, is for our listeners who is listening to this right now, what would you like to say to our listeners?
I would say for all those who've watched it, I've had loads of people come up to me in the street, in the supermarket, in the gym. Thanks for all your support. I probably wouldn't have got as far as I got without you, really. It's Sheffield. There's a few people from Sheffield. I want to give a big shout out to Bronte from Sheffield. She got to the final. And Jake Sheffield and the rest of them don't have to be from Sheffield, but a big shout out because they applied and they did the best and everybody got through. I've been to Charvale School, they watched it, they wanted me to talk to the kids, me and Bronte, we went there. So a big shout out to the school and everybody that supported us. You know, I got a lot of time off work, you know, everybody's been great, my friends and family turned out, and it makes a massive difference if people helping you and supporting you and just being there. The whole arena, everybody took to everybody. And it's once in a lifetime thing. So apply and give it your best.
Paul, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Anytime. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Stronger than ever.